So our text for this morning's meditation comes to us from Romans chapter 6, these words, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so what does it mean? What does it mean to consider yourself dead to sin? Well, it means that we no longer consider sin as something which appeals to us, as something which is desirable for us, something wanted by us or to be a part of us in our daily lives. That's what it means to consider ourselves to be dead to sin. Now, perhaps when you heard the phrase dead to sin, you thought of another expression, a more modern expression, one we hear in the movies or on television, one perhaps, unfortunately, we ourselves might have heard from another person, a friend, family member. And that is when someone says, "You are dead to me. You are dead to me." Now that's a horrible expression. One that flies in the face of love, the love expressed by the fifth commandment, love that dictates that we not hate someone, that is, that we not wish that they were dead. Because that's what the word hate means, really, theologically. When we say to someone, "I hate you," what we're really saying to them is, "I wish you were dead. At least I wish you were dead to me." So Jesus, in our gospel reading in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said of those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." We are told by another person that we're dead to them. What are we being told but that that person will treat us from that point on in our lives as if we had actually died and no longer existed? Ghosting. Ghosting. It's the same thing, isn't it? When some online friend, someone you text with every day, shares memes with you, even talks with you on occasion, suddenly disappears. Disappears from the internet. That is, they block you from access to their phone, your computer, social media accounts, and so they disappear from your life just like that. Just like they had died in an accident of some sort. Wow, we've gone pretty dark pretty fast here this morning, but what does Scripture tell us? What does the Holy Spirit share with us but that we in our lives are to consider sin in the same way? That is, we are to consider ourselves dead to sin, that we actually ourselves ghost sin, so that sin no longer can have any effect upon us, no input, no interaction with us, and we on our part have no interchange, no interaction with sin. That's what that means. But is it even possible? Well, we are considering it, and we're considering it here this morning because the Holy Spirit has entered our hearts, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he did so when we were baptized into him, and we saw that just a few moments ago. For being baptized into Jesus, we put on Jesus, that is, we put on Christ, we put on his way of thinking, his way of observing the world, his way of feeling, so that we can indeed look at the world and our life and the world in a whole new way. For by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of our Lord Christ, what we took to be normal and old hat every day and what we do and say and think, it suddenly changed. It changed. The Holy Spirit created an awareness within us of how we really should be. And when that happened, what we should be and what we actually were came into conflict with each other, didn't it? When that happened, what we should be and what we actually were, what we actually are, comes into conflict with each other. We gained at that point, we could say, a spiritual self-awareness. The way the Apostle Paul put it was, "I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. So in order to consider yourselves dead to sin, that is, to ghost sin, we have to first of all know what sin is. That's not insignificant. For we do need to know what we're facing before we're challenged with the question of what we're going to do about it. A couple weeks ago, for example, in Nebraska, the elderly lady from California in the camper next to us at the campground where we were, she struck up a conversation with me as I was hooking up our water hose, and she went on and on and on and on about the 90-day trip that she and her husband were enjoying. And then she pointed to the medal that was hanging around her neck, and she said, "Do you read Latin? Latin numerals?" Well, she had the Latin numerals LII there, 52, and so I said, "Well, 52?" And she said, "Yes, 52. I've been sober for 52 years. And then she went on to relate how, as a young wife, a mother with children, she had become an alcoholic, as was her first husband. So she began attending meetings along with her children, but her husband, he refused to go. And eventually he took his own life. How and when he did that, she told me in graphic detail. She didn't know I was a pastor. I was just the guy in the camper next door. In graphic detail, a story she had, I thought, told countless times before to many other people. But with what had happened to her in her life, with her husband and with alcohol, there was nothing she could do but consider herself at that point dead to alcohol. But in order to do that, she needed that medallion. She needed that medallion daily hanging around her neck to remind her of the dangers, the consequence of that particular sin. Oh, that we could all wear such medallions that reminded us of the specific sins we have committed and their consequences, and thereby daily be reminded to be dead to those sins, to ghost those sins. For that would help, I think, help us from thinking in the modern way. And how do people think today about sin? Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I was born. That's just how God made me. That's just my personality. That's just my weakness. That's just the way I feel. That's just the way I think. That's just the way I talk. That's just what I do. That's just me. No! It's not just you. It's you infested with sin. It's just you daily texting and talking and chatting with sin. And it's just you being very much alive to sin, enjoying its company, interacting with it happily, ignoring its effects upon you and your life. Well, Christ has set me free from sin, Pastor, you might counter. Christ has set me free so I don't have to worry about the sins I commit and can do basically anything I want. No, no, you can't. Christ has not set you free to sin. Christ has set you free from sin. Christ has not set us free to sin. Christ has set us free from sin. That is, he has sent his Spirit into our hearts so that he can daily work on making ourselves unavailable to sin. For Christ's crucifixion occurred because of the sins that we commit. His crucifixion happened to pay the debt with his blood for all of our stupidities, all of our failings, all of our wrongs, taking all of our sin upon himself. Christ nailed our transgressions to the cross with him. That is our guilt before God for everything that we've ever done. But Christ did not take those sins into the tomb and then rise again from the dead with them still clinging to him. No, Christ arose from the dead to new life. To life without sin. And by our baptisms into him, we too rise to newness of life. And that newness of life, that new life in Christ, is a life in which we daily we get text and memes and invitations to subscribe to sin in our minds and hearts and souls from none other than the devil himself. But their appearance in our lives doesn't mean we need to respond to them. Think about this. How good have we become on our phones and tablets and computers of ignoring the spam, not answering the calls, not responding to the texts, those sources that we know are nothing but trouble? I mean, we don't sit there and say, well, I guess because some unknown caller called me on my phone, I have to take the call. And look at all those emails in my inbox. I better send a quick note to each and every person that sent me an email. Each and every one. And sure, I don't know where that text came from, but I really should respond. Maybe just a little emoji. Maybe just an emoji or two. No, we can't do that. And we know why. Nothing but trouble. Viruses on our computers, money disappearing from our bank accounts, and threats of all kinds on our phones. We must ghost all of those sources. We must consider ourselves dead to them and they to us. And we know this. Same goes for the sin that confronts us daily, the temptation to sin with which we're faced from day to day to day. Sure, it could be from experience and suffering like the lady at the campground. We've learned to ghost certain sins, but with others we still flirt, don't we? We flirt with them. Let's stop that. And let's stop that because continuing to interact with sin and doing so willingly is like haphazardly floating about on the internet, on our computers and tablets and phones, thinking something like, oh, I can click on that. I can subscribe to that. I can respond to that. I don't have to worry because nothing is going to happen to me or my phone or tablet or computer or my bank account if I do. That's nonsense, of course. But I can't be perfect, Pastor. I can't live a sinless life. I can't avoid every little sin. You're right. You're right. You cannot. I cannot. But the point of our text is that our sin daily is more like mistakenly pushing the wrong button on our phone or accidentally clicking something, or even losing our phone in the bustle of life. That is, our sins, as those whose sins daily are forgiven through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, occur because of our imperfection, our faults, our inabilities, not because we look at a sin, know it's a sin, know the dangers of that sin, and commit it anyway. No, we've been given a different spirit, a spirit that says, yep, that's a sin, all right. So let's go the other direction. Let's avoid it. Let's leave it alone. Let's act like we've never seen it, know about it, or even understand what it is. In other words, let's live as though that sin is no temptation to us whatsoever, and simply ghost it. Problems? You have problems. We all have problems. If your problem is gambling, stop going to casinos, gas stations where you can buy a lottery ticket, bars where you can get a pull tab. Drinking? Stay out of bars and liquor stores. Pornography? Shut off your computer. Gossiping? Stay away from social networks. Borrowing stuff from work? Stop. Despising your parents? Stop. Resenting your spouse? Stop. You see, the very fact we can talk in this way about these things demonstrates that we have indeed been given a different spirit. Spirit of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in his resurrection and through his spirit, he would lead us to daily lead a new life. A life in which we are dead to sin, in which we have ghosted sin and are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.